You know how sometimes you scold your dog when they pee or poop on the floor on your couch and they should have gone on the papers or gone outside, and you scold the dog, and what did you do? What did you do? What did you do? It's kind of a cute scold, you know? We don't scold people like that. We yell at people, what the fuck did you do? What the hell did you do? We don't talk to dogs like that. We don't talk to people like dogs either when we're scolding them. You slept with my best friend. What did you do? What did you do? No. We scold dogs, though, like that. We scold them in a cute way, you know. What did you do? Well, that's why I scold Trump. And that's why I scold those of you that voted for Trump. If you voted for Trump in 2016, all I have to say to you is, what did you do? What did you do? You had all the information you needed to know what a complete moronic, sexist, illegitimate, delusional pig this was. Do you remember this?
Oh, my man. Wait, you got to look at me when you get out of here.
Give me the thumbs up.
That is very
funny. Give me the thumbs up.
Look at you. You are a You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the I can do anything.
That's your president. That's your role model for your kids. That was the Entertainment Tonight bus when Donald Trump, running for president at the time, exposed himself unknowingly to the American public by telling them just what a sexist schmuck moron he really is. And that because he's a celebrity, he can do anything he wants. He can even grab somebody's pussycat. I had no idea what that meant, but... You thought that was like it and that was just a joke? No, this is a man who truly believes that he has infinite power. He can grab women's pussies if he wants to. And he can, the Constitution actually gives him the right as president to do anything he wants, no matter what you say. Oh, yeah.
Then I have an Article 2 where I have the right to do whatever I want as president, but I don't even talk about that.
It's a thing called Article 2. Nobody ever mentions Article 2.
More importantly, Article 2 allows me to do whatever I want.
Oh my God.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning. Good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Okay, all right. You'll notice that when Donald Trump says just about anything, it has nothing to do with the country. It has to do with him. He's the smartest person in the world. He chooses the best words. He's a stable genius. Nobody knows more than him on any subject. Can you imagine how important that would be if Donald Trump actually knew how to read? Oh, my God. You chose him, some of you, country. What did you do? What did you do? Just please don't make that mistake again. I guess everybody can make a mistake. Just don't do it again, please. What did you do? What did you do? Donald, you dumped a giant turd on our country. What did you do? What did you do? All right, that's enough. That'll be enough. That'll be quite enough. Thank you very much. I have a great guest on the show today with a little bit of an extended interview. This is an author who's written a book about our relationships, how men and women relate to each other, and how successful those relationships are in relationships. Do you follow me? I think you do. Her opinions are kind of controversial. They're different than what we were taught by Mamsie Pamsie people. So we're going to do that today. It's going to be pretty cool. Shirley Baldwin will be joining us for an extended interview toward the end of the program. So please hang on for that. I guarantee that's going to be extremely interesting. As you know, I relationships are not as simple as you think they are. I've always said the reason why relationships are so difficult is because when you're sharing your life with somebody, they are actually, in reality, your personal dumping ground. If you spend all your days with people or all your nights, your frustrations have got to go somewhere because you're inexplicably human. So you dump on something, and if you live with somebody, you're going to dump on them. And as long as you have that understanding that dumping could occur, but merely as a dumping point, then relationships probably do survive. But if you don't understand that, it's bye-bye relationship. I haven't written a book about this, but those are my feelings about it. Also, if you're in a relationship, don't do everything together. Stop it. Life is not what it is in the movies. Very infrequently do movie things actually happen in real life as far as relationships are concerned. I know some of you or some of us in our younger days may have gone on a first date and the next thing you know, you're taking your clothes off in somebody's bedroom and having wild, passionate sex. In every movie, when a person meets another person, within 10 minutes, they're having wild, passionate sex that was supposedly unplanned. That's not the way it is in real life. You get your face slapped a lot. It doesn't really happen that way. It can, but it kind of really doesn't. So don't go by what you see on the movie screen. It's kind of dangerous. If you go to the movies a lot and you see all these wonderful relationships and people going to bed with each other on the first date, you're going to start feeling bad about yourself. Like, oh, how come I can't do that? Hey, how come I can't meet people like that? It's because it doesn't happen like that all the time. People don't just go walking up to each other and starting lovely, magical conversations. Magical conversations? What is that? God, please, please. I said this a couple of shows ago, that when you run into a couple and they say they've been married for 40 or 50 years, your mouth just drops. And goes, wow, my God, that's incredible. You've been together and married for 40, 50 years. Whoa. It's like we're amazed. And yet, aren't we supposed to, isn't that supposed to be normal? Isn't that when you get married and you're on the altar and that priest guy or whoever it is, rabbic, the priest, I don't know the names of these things. You're on the altar and you're getting married. Do you take this to be or lawful and innocent to love and honor, obey till death do you part? I think everybody on the altar, when they hear till death do you part, you say to yourself, ooh, that's a long time. Those weren't my plans necessarily. Let's just see what happens. How about that? How about if the priest says, do you promise to take this man, woman, as your till you see what happens? Oh, yeah, sure, that'll do, sure. But we're amazed when a couple has been together for 40 or 50 years. We're amazed by that. We stop what we're doing. Holy shit, how did you do that? How did you survive? You see, because that's not normal. That is not normal. The thing that we're supposed to aspire to and pledge to when we get married, that's no longer normal. But we do it anyway. We say it. Something wrong with saying it, I suppose. Yeah, I'll say anything you want. Just get me to the reception. Let me start drinking. Seriously. I've already got 5 children by this woman. I mean, might as well. What choice do I have? Sure, I love her. My head over heels can't live without you? No, not necessarily. Do I love her? Yeah. Honor and obey? Come on, now you're throwing some things into there that really don't belong. I will honor you and obey you. Seriously? We don't obey people. I obey you. Oh my God. You shall kneel before me in my kingdom, and you shall obey my every wishes and command when I set forth upon your head. You shall obey, and should you not obey, your head will be chopped off, and it shall roll into a bucket of blood. Do you promise to love, honor, and obey me till death do you part? Well, no, when you put it that way, no. No, no. But you know what? For drama purposes and to go on with the show, sure, why not? Yeah, right. Yeah, you can't hold me to it because there's a certain thing called breaking up and divorce. Did you ever hear of that? Yeah, that could come at any moment. So everything I said on the altar, seriously? So we're going to talk about relationships coming up rather soon on the program. How are your relationships going, by the way? I always fail to ask you these questions. How are you doing? How are you? Do you have a relationship? I know some people that are single. They are the happiest people in the world. They want to be like everybody else. They want the security of marriage and a monogamous relationship. They want that. But then when they start hearing all the things involved, they say, well, thank God I live alone. I don't have to obey or honor or do anything at any particular time. I am my own master. I don't have to put up with all the crap you people put up with. Yeah, I mean, you know. The grass is always greener on the other side, unless the other side of the fence has no grass whatsoever and is in the process of putting down a new lawn. But other than that, yeah, everybody else's thing is always better. Do you know why everybody else's thing is always better? It's because you're not aware of what they're actually going through. They're on the other side of the fence where the grass is greener, but you can't see beyond the fence, and there's a lot of crap going on behind the fence that you can't get close to because you can't go past the fence. The grass is always greener, and everybody wants green grass. I mean, who are we trying to kid? That's why I was born. I remember coming out of the womb, my mother's womb, and I remember the pediatrician delivering me, or whoever that was. I think it was a pediatrician, I'm not sure who that was, and said, well, the grass is supposed to be greener here, but I don't know. Why are we even here? Why are we even on the earth? We're supposed to make it better than the way that we found it. We're supposed to leave it in better shape. Well, that's asking a lot of me because I can't do much about that. So I guess my purpose is nil, and let's just leave it at that. It takes the burden off of me. You know, when you're born, you're supposed to make the world a better place than when you came in. That's a lot of work. That's like a whole job. If I don't have to do that, I can just like screw around. I think life's a little more pleasurable that way. I don't know. I'm not sure about it. I grew up in a generation which was called the free love generation, which kind of means you don't have to pay for it. In those days, similar to the movie, I did meet people and I did have a first date and I did things that were naughty that ended up happening just like in the movies. But that was then. And then this little thing called AIDS came around and sexual diseases. I don't think they had those things when I was in my youth. I don't think we had sexual diseases. If we did, we certainly didn't talk about it. And there were no AIDS. It's nothing like that. You know, that wasn't ruined. So like you could kind of go to bed with whoever you want and get high and have your sexual fantasy. And it was not a bad time to live. That period of time didn't last all that long, but when it did, it was not so bad. I'm not a real friendly person, but I made a lot of friends back then. Read between the lines. The grass is always greener. You know what I'm saying? All right, all right. Even I feel like I'm getting annoying. So that's when we take a little break, and we, you know what I'm saying? We don't pursue this beyond where it already is. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. I'm serious. If you go somewhere and I'm not here when you come back, that will not be my fault. That'll be your fault.
The three sweetest words in podcasting? Ron Van Dam. Wow. Gave myself a little erection saying that one. And I forgot to turn off the microphone.
Author Shirley Baldwin joins us now. Get What You Want From Your Man, A Guide to Creating the Relationship You Deserve, in big letters, deserve. And thanks for being with us, and for it's early where you are, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's a little early.
Yeah, it's okay.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. Now, this is an interesting book. It kind of, it's a little bold, may I say, which makes it all the more interesting. In these days of everybody's equal and you're not better than I am and I can do everything you can do, you pretty much say, well, no, there are roles that can be played here. Is that the way you think?
Yeah. I mean, so I feel like, well, I know feminism, like our world is kind of going completely the opposite direction.
Yes.
Feminism to me is very masculine, and it's destroying the balance of male and female. Mm-hmm. So women wanting equal rights, they're fighting as men with men instead of being a woman mm-hmm. in the same world as a man. And I feel like we both have our very beautifully strong mm-hmm. talents. And yeah, so I really feel like it's taking on a masculine energy, and it's just creating a world where men are becoming less masculine, women are becoming more masculine. And so there's just a lot of fighting, and that's not really our natural.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to meet in the middle 50-50, then both ends have to change everything to get to the center. As a matter of fact, men should be men and women should be women is what you say. Have you heard people say, oh, I disagree with that?
Oh my gosh.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so much. Mm-hmm. I do. But I feel like we both have our own strengths and mm-hmm. roles, and they complement one each other, like peanut butter and jelly.
Yes.
Like jelly doesn't need to be peanut butter, because then you have two peanut butters. And like this just sticks to the roof of your mouth, you know?
I mean, I agree with you entirely. A good strong couple is when one has the strengths that the other one doesn't have, and vice versa. And together, you've got it all. But if you all have the same thing, then you can't. There's nothing happen. There's no mechanics going on.
Well, and what kind of happens is two energies can't live together. So, like two masculine or two feminine, and it honestly doesn't even matter what gender you are in a relationship. Yeah. One person takes on a role of masculinity and mm-hmm. one takes on a role of femininity. Right. But when that is set off balance and we're not in our natural being, like who we, you know, like our biology is different. Like just look at our bodies. It's just different. We were created differently and we have natural tendencies. And so when those get offset, mm-hmm. I hear often working with couples, you know, my husband's not working anymore. He's not, mm-hmm. you know, he's not being the man. Mm-hmm. And I always go to, well, what are you doing in that relationship? How are you being? Mm-hmm. Because if we're being harsh and you know, not putting our man up, then he takes on the feminine role, mm-hmm. and it just gets all out of whack.
Well, I think we all know, if we're not going to really admit things, we all know that women kind of rule the world. There's that old saying, happy wife, happy life, something like that, which I totally believe is the case, which is a very interesting analogy when we're talking about everybody being equal. But no, I mean, it's her that has to be satisfied here. And I think that's the way the world's always worked, oddly enough.
Yeah, I think that almost kind of gives a bad rap to men and to women, yeah. because really, you know, if either partner in the relationship is upset mm-hmm. or angry, then the relationship's not working, right? Yeah. But I believe fully that if, as a woman, I can be nurturing and loving and sensitive, and, you know, I use the word submissive, which people do not like that word, but mm-hmm. really all it means is accept or yield to, you know, like in the world, I'm a strong person. When I'm in my home, I submit, I love and nurture and put up my husband, and that makes him want to give me whatever it is that I need Correct. To help me to be happy. So yeah, there is kind of something to that, mm-hmm. but I think sometimes women tend to be like, okay, well, give me whatever I want then, because you're mm-hmm. not going to be happy unless I'm happy. And that's just a completely masculine way of looking at it.
Yeah. Let's look at that sexually, by the way. Women apparently can fake sometimes, but men usually don't, unless I'm ill-informed here. what are the dynamics of that?
Of, like, sex?
Well, the dynamics of a female every once in a while not being honest with the actual act itself. But a man not caring pretty much, and it's, you know, that's, they never fake it.
Right. I mean, for one thing, it's kind of obvious if a man's faking it, but I would say that I would say, like, as a woman, mm-hmm. intimacy is a gift. Mm-hmm. And if I would say, if they're doing it out of a love and kindness,
yes,
you know, then that's creating something with your man. That's giving mm-hmm. something that we can, it would take from the man to be like, oh, sorry, I'm just, right. I just can't, you just right. don't do it for me. No,
yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that does happen sometimes, because our world, like, a woman's sex organ is her head, her mm-hmm. brain. Mm-hmm. And so if she can't focus everything out of it to focus on that one thing, then yeah, sometimes the least she can do is just give of herself in a loving way. And so I think that's also very controversial because it's used a lot as a negotiation tool, you know?
Yeah. Surely there are entire sections in bookstores, if there are bookstores anymore, that are about this subject on how to make relationships work. Your book kind of is like an updated Bible, it reads like. Which is interesting, because you have to bring it to where it is now, and you do cover just about every scenario that might be a little confusing to men and women in their roles and how to have a relationship.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I tried to make it a very simple read, and I probably read 20 books on this subject before I wrote mine. And every single book was about how to use control, manipulation, head games, how to be, you know, be something that you're not to get what you want from your man. Mm-hmm. My book says, a book appears that way, but it's different in the fact that I meet women where they're at mm-hmm. in that mindset. And then I take them on a journey of self-discovery, realization, just that they can get whatever they want just by being who they mm-hmm. or who they're being in the relationship. And it is completely different than any book out there, but it works. Yeah. Like, it works. My husband wrote the last chapter in my book, actually. Uh-huh. And yeah, it works.
Huh, interesting. That is very interesting. The toughest part of a relationship is longevity. when we hear a husband or wife say, "Yeah, we've been together and married for over 50 years," it's like everybody's jaws drop. You know, like, how's that possible? Yeah. You're very, very special. I've never heard of this before. Yet that's supposed to be the standard according to what they say on the altar.
Right.
I guess the divorce rate hasn't changed in a while. So the big question is, how do you keep something like a marriage relationship together, because they all seem to falter at times? Or should you not even really put that kind of effort into it if it's not necessary?
Well, I think that there's a big word that we all use that I don't know that many people understand, and that's communication. And I think that when I would say that our entire life we're raised with a right box and a wrong box, and everything goes into one of those boxes.
Yes.
So if we think that we're right, then that automatically makes the other person wrong. Correct. And so I've just separated those boxes, and there's this huge space in between that's just called just is.
Yeah.
So when we can put things in that box and realize that it's just a matter of perspective, that there's no right or wrong, and that in any relationship you're going to have in the past or the future, trust me, I've had a few marriages and I learned through that it is a matter of perspective. And when we just don't make the other person right or wrong, then we're able to see and make it workable. So I always tell people, like, workability is the number one thing that keeps people together.
Yeah.
Because you're always going to be faced with
true obstacles. And that, I guess, is a tough part, because it's one-on-one day after day, and it's the only other person in the room. So when you're not feeling particularly happy and you need to dump, you're going to dump on the only other person that's standing next to you. And that's the hard part, is to consciously say, I'm not going to dump, even though you really feel like dumping to something.
Right. Or you can set aside a space and time where you can say, hey, I really need to vet. Like, as a woman, men are fixers. And so when something's wrong with me, the immediate thing that he does is want to fix it.
Yes.
And so if I'm having like a bad day or something's bugging me, I will say, hey, babe, could we set up a time? Like, when's your next available hour that we could sit and talk? And then he goes into that room, if you will, like he compartmentalizes, right? And I say, I don't need this to be fixed. I just really need my best friend. I just really need someone to talk this out with. And that creates a space where he comes ready to listen. I come ready to talk. And then there's no clashing. And so I think sometimes it's just patience and learning when and how. We even have rules of fighting.
But you have to, I think what pisses both people off the most is when one says, I'm not talking about this right now because something bad's going to happen. I'm leaving. And I'll be back in a couple of minutes or later or something. The other person's pursuing an argument and the other one walks out. That usually fuels it worse. So I don't know which way to go.
Well, I would say that a really good place to start is to sit down and just make agreements with each other. Okay. If this happens, this is how I'm going to react. You know, in a place where you're not in that heated moment. Good. So if it doesn't work for you to say, if you're mad, if I get mad, I need to walk away for a minute. Don't think that it's anything against you. Just let me do it. And then when I come back, we'll have a way better conversation. Then it's just communication.
Yeah, it is. Apparently it is. And communication when you're not embroiled.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard when you are embroiled, obviously. This is fascinating. And it's there's so many different subjects involved here. But the real question is, like, how do you have a successful relationship? And that's just on everybody's mind. Used to be in the old days, men are from Venus, women are from Chicago. I don't know. Do you believe in that thing?
Totally.
Okay.
I really do. Like, we are just two completely different creatures trying to cohabitate. But when we can learn how to do it, when we can understand each other and how we work, it's just, you're just a lot more informed. It's like anything else. We can't, you know, we get into these relationships without a book, without a script of how we're supposed to do it. And so we don't know how to work it. So it's like all this trial and error going on all the time.
Well, actually there is a book. So
there is now.
There is now. So no excuses. Shirley, how does somebody follow you?
I have a website, mm-hmm. and it's www.getwhatyouwantguru.com. Mm-hmm. And you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. They're all on there.
Cool.
My book is available at all major bookstores, mm-hmm. Nationwide, Canada-wide, and online, Amazon.com. So it's
wonderful.
Pretty easy to get in touch with me. And I love to hear from people. So
what's next? What's up for you next? Usually when a book is written of this magnitude, something else is coming along.
I have a book that I'm writing right now called Get What You Want From Your Kids.
Uh-oh.
Which is going to be really fun. My podcast is launching next week.
Oh, really?
It's the Get What You Want podcast. And I have a ton of guests on there. And it's going to be about relationships with anything, not just your man. It can mm-hmm. be with your woman, your job, your boss, your career. And I just have mm-hmm. a ton of amazing guests that tell us how they got what they wanted. And I have them leave a word of advice every episode wonderful. That you can start that day. It's something simple that you can start that day getting what you want. So
wow.
it's going to
okay.
be fun.
So how do we find that? We Google that at the time or?
Yes, it's launching on November 19th and it'll be on my website. There will be a link to subscribe and that would be amazing. Also, I'll be putting it on all of my social media. So please wonderful. Connect with me.
Wonderful. The book is Get What You Want From Your Man, A Guide to Creating the Relationship You Deserve. She's Shirley Baldwin. Well, that was fascinating. I told you it'd be fascinating. I wasn't kidding. Thank you so much to Shirley. Very interesting stuff. I don't disagree. I don't disagree. Sort of not. We all can agree with people with little twists involved. But you know what? Whether you agree with her or not, it's not your business, first of all. And secondly, that's fine. That's what it's all about. It raises the conversation. And that's a good thing that we don't have these days. We don't have conversation. We have arguments. That's part of what Shirley was talking about. We don't communicate. We just try to get our point across at any cost at all. No matter who we hurt or what we say, my point must be gotten across. You must understand my point. And even if you say you understand my point, I will still drill into the fact that you're going to understand my point forever now. I will not relent. Even though I've told you how despicable you are, I will continue to tell you how despicable you are until I feel like I am satisfied in telling you how despicable you are. As opposed to communicating. So I guess that's the lesson that we've learned here today. We've learned a lot of lessons. I can't remember what they are, very similar to all the lessons that I supposedly should have learned in school but never really retained. 98% of everything that I learned in school I have totally forgotten because it never came up. It never came up. Ron, we're preparing you for life. Really? Well, then you're preparing me with the wrong information because most of the stuff you taught me, I never used. Why don't you just check out and see what most people end up using from what you're teaching and just teach that stuff? Stop with the other 98% of the crap. Why don't you just teach me how to write a check? I'm sorry, even that's archaic at this point. Teach me how to go online. Teach me the mortgage rates. Teach me interest rates, how to invest with no money, and I think we're done. I think you've taught me all I need to know at that point. Oh, also how to unclog a toilet. That always comes up. That should be like continually every year they should tell you how to unclog a toilet. Stuff like that is definitely going to happen in your life. That's what we need to learn. CPR. Everybody should know CPR. Is it taught in school? No. All right, I could go on forever, but I'm not allowed to. You've been wonderful today, and I don't know. I should have a little prize for you, but I don't. But I thought that I should, and it's the thought that counts. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace.